is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Those who want to give their lives to the Lord and follow Him without hindrance need to be willing to give up the stuff that they hold on to so hard. It's not that God hates that you have stuff. It's just that the stuff that you see, you deem as so important, it's obvious. Because when you say, Lord, I'll give up anything for you, the first things you grab for are the things you really don't want to give up. Lord, I'll give anything to you. Not these, any of those. And so it's no wonder, it's not like God says, I hate you so much, I want to take what you like. It's, I love you so much, I can see what you're clinging to. And it's keeping you from me.
Do you have a tight grip on the things this life gives? Are you willing to let go of those things if God asked you to? Change happens in our hearts when we surrender. We cannot serve God in the things of this world. To follow Him without hindrance means to be fully willing to let go of anything He asks. The point is, are we living a life of surrender? Today, Pastor Troy will teach us that what holds us back more than anything in our Christian walk is stuff, ideas, and hopes placed above the Lord. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You know, throughout history, men have tried to take the one true and living God and establish a religion in His name and do the same exact thing. Here's what God says. Oh, don't let the people have the word of God. They'll know exactly what He said, and that won't benefit us. We'll keep that for us. Let's not interpret it or write it in a language that they can understand, the common language of the people. We'll interpret it for them. These were the reasons for many of the reformations, was because people couldn't have access to the Word of God. And the church lorded over them and tried to tell them what the Word of God said, making all of these rules. And when men or women would get hold of the Word of God and be able to read it and study it, they would realize what they're saying it says and what it really says does not line up. I hate it when that happens. I hate it. You know, I stand up here and I don't claim to know everything perfectly. But one thing I do try to do the best I can is know what it says and not try to say something I want it to say. Early on, especially, there were so many times I would study and I'd go, oh man, right, this would be a good point. This is a good point. Yeah. Oh yeah. I thought, man, this is a great outline. And then as I would do my cross-reference researching, I'd go, that doesn't really say that. I can't justify that with that text. And I realized, man, I don't know the Bible as well as I thought I did. I've got a lot of growing to do, a lot of learning. Well, the Gentiles, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a relationship with God. They were just like your unsaved friends, with no Christians around them, just left to themselves and their mess. That was then, but this is now. We read in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. He's a Jew speaking, our, your and mine, our peace. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, speaking of Jews and Gentiles, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity, that is the enmity between the two. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, that would be the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So that was then, but now we have reconciliation. There's a reconciliation that has taken place. There was a separation before, this group from this group, and God from all of them, basically. This group had to come through this religious system that still kept them pretty distant from God. But now there's reconciliation. So that the Jewish and the Gentile approach to God is the same. It's through the blood of Christ. The division between Jews and Gentiles had been dealt with. And the division between God and men had been dealt with. See, in the temple, there was a wall with a sign in Latin, Hebrew, and Greek that made very clear that there was a separation. And it read, "No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds this sanctuary enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." What that meant is there was an area in the temple. It was really divided and subdivided. You know, the court of the Gentiles, which was rather large, and then there was the court of the women, but that was Jewish women only. Because as a Jew, you're separated. Gentiles, far, far away. Men and women, didn't matter. Just Gentiles. But then the Jewish section. Now there's a place for the women, the Jewish women, and they could go, and then the men, and then priests who were not on active duty at the time, and then those who were working in the temple. So there was separation, and that's what they were used to. Gentiles could not get very close to the Lord. I gave an example one time. If the Alamo Dome were the temple, and you had center court was where the Holy of Holies was, then the Gentiles were about as distant. They weren't in the upper bleachers. That would be more like the men. But if you go out into the foyer where you buy all the products and stuff like that, that would be more like the women. If you go out to the parking lot, that would be the Gentiles. So that's how close you got to the Lord. Out in the parking lot of the building. We're here. We're worshiping. We're outside, but we're here. But that was good enough for people who were so lost that that's all they could get. But Paul's saying, look, that's not all you can get. The wall of separation's been broken down. We all have access, equal access, just as intimate access, the same. You, Gentiles, and us, Jews, we all have that access. If you were a Gentile back then and you wanted to convert, you'd go to a rabbi. You have to approach, let them know, and if you were a male, you would have to go through the ritual of circumcision, no matter your age. They called this bringing you near, as well as bringing you pain. So Paul says that was the approach then, but it's not that way now. That's good news. So Paul says he broke down that wall of separation, referring to that wall in the temple that was a wall that separated. So he broke that down. Now we all stand at the foot of the cross. We come one way. And it's that we all have access to him, not by ritual, which the Jews had access by, or nationality. Again, the Jews only had that access because of their nationality. But how did he say we have access? By one Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," talking to believers, "if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his." So, one of two things is true. You don't have the Spirit of Christ, and you're not enabled, and you are not his. And it doesn't matter how religious you are, how kind you may speak of him. It doesn't matter. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, if you're not a follower, you're not his. Then there's the other side. The other side is you do have the Spirit of Christ. Well, that group is without excuse. Because when you have the Spirit of Christ, you can do all things through Christ. So now that group who is saved is without excuse for the things God asks them to do. So you can't be I'm saved, and I can't do it. You can't. One of the two is true. You're right. You can't do it. You're not saved. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. Or you are saved. You have the Spirit of Christ, and you're just rebellious. And you need to yield yourself to the Lord because you can do all things through Christ. So he's saying, Gentiles, that's the boat you're in. You're invited. You're in. You're welcome. And you have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, just like we do. The division between sinners and God was dealt with. By fulfilling the moral law, Jesus became the sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice for sin for everyone, any sinner. And Jesus, when he became that sacrifice, he pushed aside the need to keep ceremonial law or rituals in order to be saved. Sabbath, dietary law, circumcision, all of those things. That's not your route to approaching God anymore. That's not your route to righteousness or right standing. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. When it comes to salvation, the Jew and the Gentile both come the same way today, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's what Paul is saying here. The wall's knocked down. There is no Jew and Gentile now when it comes to salvation. We all must come through Christ. Paul was a Jew, and he came to faith in Christ, and he prayed fervently for those who were so hardened against him. And it was really those who had such high standing among the Jewish community. Wait a minute, I have to humble myself. I achieved so much. It'd be like asking somebody who worked their way through some corporation and became some higher up, CEO, CFO, president, whatever it is, to say, you know what? We're starting over a new corporation. You need to humble yourself. God doesn't recognize it. So if you want to be somebody in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to give up that high, significant role and just follow the Lord like everybody else. Wait a minute. I don't want to do that. I'm somebody. And that's why it was so difficult for the religious leaders. They were somebody. That's why it's so difficult for people who have so much to give it up and follow the Lord. The scripture says it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the idea is not that if someone has a lot of money, they can't go to heaven. The idea is somebody who has a lot is usually wanting to hold on to that. And when you want to hold on to things, it's impossible to follow the Lord. It really is. Think about it. We all, in our walk with the Lord, we all compromise. We negotiate what I will let go of and be changed and things I won't let go of. And it's in those things we won't let go of, change doesn't happen. I'm going to hold on to this because God's alternative is over here, something else. And he says, you can't hold on to this and have this. And so he deals with us. He deals with us on a daily basis. Those who want to give their lives to the Lord and follow him without hindrance need to be willing to give up the stuff that they hold on to so hard. It's not that God hates that you have stuff. It's just that the stuff that you see, you deem as so important, it's obvious. Because when you say, Lord, I'll give up anything for you, the first things you grab for are the things you really don't want to give up. Lord, I'll give anything to you. Not these. Any of those. And so it's no wonder. It's not like God says, I hate you so much, I want to take what you like. It's, I love you so much, I can see what you're clinging to. And it's keeping you from me. And so we need to deal with it. It could be like an Isaac. It could be something that is offered, and I just want you to be willing to let go of it. I have no intention to take it, of taking it. But I want you to let go of it, because it's a God in your life. And it could be that it does need to be removed. Only God knows the difference. But we have to be willing to let go of those things, because what holds us back more than anything is when we hold on to stuff, things, ideas, hopes, whatever it is. These things keep us from being able to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. But as we just read, You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So Christ became the propitiation, the substitute, the sacrifice for our sins, for ours, the Jews, for every sinner. Now, just so that we are clear, there is a plan for the nation. God's holding that plot of land for a purpose, and he's going to continue to hold it. The people, he's using them for sure. They're going to hold. He's going to, through them, he's going to continue. They're not a deserving people, trust me. Many of them now are atheists. I mean, they don't even hold to some religious belief. You still have the diehards and the zealots and the different groups. But as a nation, many of them are just kind of agnostic and atheists. They give a nod to God. You know, he's always been. But they don't live as if there is a God. So they're not deserving. But God has a plan. And that's why he still blesses and builds and has a purpose for them. God does that. We talked about it with Ahab. Ahab was one of the least deserving kings ever. And yet God still said, hey, I'm going to fight for you, Ahab. We're going to win this battle because I want them and I want you to know I am God. He had a purpose. And he still has a purpose for that land because you know what? He's coming back. That's what he said. And you know where he's going to come? He's going to go to that place, the apple of his eye, Israel. And he's going to stand and he's going to defeat everyone who opposes. And he will rule and reign from here. And we've always wished that would happen, right? It's going to happen one day. And I look forward to that day. It's something that not only the Jews get to look forward to, but now we Gentiles who were once far off get to hope for and look for it also. The division has been dealt with. And now that he's made a case that we're all one in Christ, he closes verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So now we have unification. We're all one. You don't have to say, hey, in my religion, in my culture, no, Jesus is the same. Now, we may have different starting points, but he's bringing us all to the same ending point so that we are more like him and we are one nation. He doesn't deal with us as Christians according to the nation that we live in. Although the nation that we live in has a lot to say about what we experience as a nation, what goes on around us, but God doesn't look at you and go, your nation's in sin, so you're going to hell. Because we're called as citizens of heaven now. We're also one family. This was important because many lost their families. Not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. We become part of God's family because God becomes our Father. And those who are in his family become our brothers and our sisters. You know, when God speaks of using what you have to minister and to build others, he speaks primarily of doing it within the church. Not to your home family, not unless they're in the church. Not to others outside, those who are lost, using your gifts. But in the church first. Build the church. It's that same idea that the airline knows about is, okay, you have children, but if we lose cabin pressure, they tell you, please put your mask on first. I know you're thinking children first, but look, if you die in the process or pass out, they're dead too. So take care of you. If they pass out, they'll be okay. They'll be okay. But you can't pass out. You got to lead this whole thing. So put yours on first, then help them. It's the same idea. Use your gifts. Build the church. Make the church strong. Make your fellow brethren strong because you guys are the light of the world. You need to be strong. You need to be unified. You need to be healthy or we're going to look like a mess to the world and your light will be very, very diminished. build each other. So we're one family, and he says one temple. There was a time when you had to go to Jerusalem to visit the temple and experience the living God, but that was then. This is now. You are the temple of God as a believer. God's Holy Spirit fills you. People can actually experience the love of God and the presence of God by your being there and using your gifts and letting God love them through you. They can experience him as if he were right there. That's the power we have in us to make a difference in this world if we would yield ourselves to God and his usefulness. And it all comes by alignment too. He talks about Jesus being the cornerstone, the apostles and prophets being the foundation. In other words, we're not laying any new foundation, any new wisdom or insight. There's no new testaments. We're building on that, but we are building. And the Lord says, you're being stacked up like one unified temple in which I inhabit. This is why, you know that where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. This is why it was so important, because back then that wasn't true. Two or more could gather, but God was in Jerusalem. So you had to go to Jerusalem. That's where God was. But now he says, look, now wherever you are, two or more of you are gathered and you're worshiping me and I'm with you. You don't have to think about me and wish you were in Jerusalem. I'm there in your midst. But that's not just for the Jews. That's also for the Gentiles. I love that about the Lord. So we look to him, we hear from him, and as we're being built up, we're being aligned to the cornerstone. We're looking to him. If you want to be aligned properly, you have to look to him. Don't look to your neighbor. Don't look to that person. Don't even look to the pastor. I mean, it's good to get a good head start. You know, okay, how can I do this? Okay, the Lord says this. What does it look like? It's good to kind of look at someone else and get an idea of how it's lived out, but always look to him. He's the standard, not them. And what that does is it causes us to be a temple, unified, built up, his presence among his people in this world, and we become light. And Jesus said, Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So at one time, you had no guide of right and wrong was. You had no hope for the future. So it was no wonder when bad things happened and things piled up on you, you were just hopeless. We have hope in Christ. Whether it's the scripture that says, some of us cling to this one when we're going through trials, this too shall pass. Hey, that's enough sometimes to get you through, right? To remember that truth. It's a season of trial, testing, consequences, whatever it might be, but it's just a season. This too will pass. So with all of that now, I'm speaking to a Gentile church, take that good news. And our job is not to do like Israel did and hoard it and hide it and separate and do all of that. It's to now take it and to be a light to the lost and share it. Don't do like the nation of Israel had done and become exclusive and isolated. Go live as lights in this world.
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's continuing study through the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about Building on the Solid Rock, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And you'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God's hand in your life, and that you embrace his blessings and grace in each moment of your day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in.